we begin this morning, I'd like to have us begin with a little game that I did not know about when I wrote the sermon, but I later learned existed, and I thought, well, that would really help me start this sermon out. The little game is called Who Said That? Has anybody ever played this game before? I didn't know it existed. It's a little game called Who Said That? I found it on the internet, where players try to guess who said some of these very famous or less than famous phrases or quotes. And just to get us started off here this morning, I thought I'd give us a try or two at this. If I would say to you, give me liberty or give me death, who would you say said that? Okay, Patrick Henry, some of you got that right. If I would say, I have not yet begun to fight, who said that? Who was it? John Paul Jones. Okay, very good. I cannot tell a lie. Well, it could have been George Washington, but there's a lot of people in this audience that ought to say that. 47 years ago, Abraham Lincoln. Ask not what your country can do for you. John F. Kennedy. Never give in. Never, never, never. Winston Churchill. Very good. A date that will live in infamy. FDR. Okay. I have a dream. Martin Luther King. Hop on the bus, Gus. No need to discuss much. Paul Simon. Somebody knows it. All right. And the reason I wanted to play a little game is I want you to try to guess this one. Who said, go and show yourself to the priests? Who said it? It was Jesus Christ. Those of you who listened to the scripture reading this morning, you know that's something that Jesus said. Jesus said that to 10 lepers that he met as he entered a certain village. We're not told which village that happened to have been, but as he entered that village, it says he's met by these 10 men with this leprous condition, an incurable disease, and they stood at a distance, which was a requirement of the law, and they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And the Greek word for master there is a Greek word that is only used by Luke. It's a very uncommon word in the Greek New Testament. It's only used 6 times. Luke is the only one that uses it. It's the Greek word epistathos, epistathos. And it's got that prepositional phrase we're getting used to in our sermon series, this epi, which is a Greek preposition of proximity, meaning near or upon or over, and histemi. Histemi means to stand. So epistatos, they're saying Jesus, Master, the one who stands over and above us. The one who stands over and above. That's what these 10 men in their miserable, incurable condition called Jesus. It's a very seldom used word for Jesus. Jesus is usually called Kyrios, which is usually translated Lord. Sometimes Jesus is called Rabbi, a teacher. But not in this case. He's called, in our translation, Master. He's Master because he's standing, according to the 10 lepers, over and above their situation. The one who stands over and above it all in any condition that we may be forced to endure. That's who Jesus is. It's kind of like my youngest grandson in this picture. To the left stands Odessa, my granddaughter, Supergirl, with her fist clenched, raised high into the air. And to the right crouches my grandson, Omri, ready to pounce, dressed as Stan Lee's veritable web-slinger himself. But there in the middle stands my youngest grandson, Olin, with both fists on hips. He's standing, in his mind at least, over and above it all. Okay? He's observing and master over everything happening below because I am Batman. Okay? Now, I texted that picture to my son along with a caption that said, triple threat, triple threat. And JW texted back and said, the criminals don't stand a chance tonight. All right. And neither did leprosy over these 10 men, not with Jesus, Master, Epistathos. the one standing over and above it all. This is the man who was in charge. He was the master of the situation. That's why these 10 men lifted up their voices and called him the one who stands over and above. We want you, sir, to have mercy on us down below. It's as if these 10 men, if you were following along, it's as if these 10 men were sending up the bat signal, crying out for the Cape Crusader who could come down and cure their condition. And Jesus didn't disappoint them, did he? The Bible says when Jesus saw them, Jesus said to them. And I hope in that you take some comfort that God is not a God who just sees what's going on down below. God is a God who stands above it all. And he sees and he says. And when God said, "Let there be light," what happened? There was light. He's a God who sees, and he's a God who says. Or as the title of one of Francis Schaeffer's early books was entitled, "He is there and he is not silent." Many in our world need to learn that God is there. But God is way more than just there. God is there, and he is not silent. He speaks. He says, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And at least 9 of those men, if not all 10 of them, would have known exactly what Jesus meant, because the Jewish law was very clear. The Jewish law had always said, "This shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the," who? To the priest. And I know that's probably not your favorite verse in the Bible, but for a leprous person, this would be the most favorite verse in all the Bible. "On the day of your cleansing, you shall be brought to the priest." Because that tells you there's hope. There's hope for your hopeless condition. This is a law for the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. And on that day, he shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look that if the case of the leprous disease is healed in the leprous person, then he shall be pronounced clean. Clean. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. The day he washed my sins away. Amen? And then the thanksgiving offerings could begin, because those who were for all intents and purposes dead to society and dead to their family and friends, now they were alive again, and they could return to their lives again, and they could return to their families again. These men knew that if Jesus, the one who stands over and above it all, said, "Go show yourselves to the priests," that meant this was the day they would be cleansed. And as they went, the Bible says, they were what? Cleansed. 10 men with faith obeyed, and 10 men, as they went, were cleansed. But only one man returned to say thanks. Verse 15 says, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was cleansed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice." Now, why God? Because that's where this man believed his healing came from. He believed God had saved him. So he goes to God. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, all ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he fell on his knees at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. Giving him thanks. He was not just thankful. But he gives Jesus thanks. And that's our lesson this morning. If you want to turn to the back of your bulletins and fill in the blanks, this is the time to do it. This is our lesson. There's a big difference between being thankful and actually giving thanks. There's a big difference between being a thankful person and actually taking time out to thank a person. There's a big difference between counting your lucky stars and looking up and counting one star in particular, the bright morning star, to the Star of David that saved you from your sin. And even if you're not a Christian this morning, we all have someone in our life in which we need to express our thanks to. Don't just be thankful. Don't be someone who is thankful. Be someone who actually thanks someone. You understand the difference? How many of you are thankful here this morning? You're a thankful person. You're thankful. You got something to be thankful about, okay? How many of you have not yet thanked anyone this morning for anything? Oh, that's a little more embarrassing, isn't it? There's a difference between being thankful and actually taking time to stop and turn and return and thank somebody. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. We got to put the giving back into thanks. We got to give thanks to truly celebrate Thanksgiving. It's not just about being thankful, but it's about expressing our thanks. Now, this is why many of us went to Port Columbus last Sunday night. We went to express our thanks to many of our veterans who'd been willing to put themselves in harm's way back in the day, and to express our thanks in particular to one man from our congregation that served in this way. It's why I needed to express my thanks to Brenda Geary for getting Bob Furby on that honor flight in the first place and for arranging that welcome back that Bob got at Port Columbus. It's why I needed to thank all those who came to Port Columbus that night and stayed and waited to be part of that honor parade, even after it was announced that Bob's plane would be 2 hours delayed. Not a soul of us went on. I tried to thank each one of those persons. I need to be more of a thankful person, true, but I need to express that thanks for the people that are responsible for pulling some of that stuff off. Let me give you another one. This is why I needed to thank Sandra Hoffman for baking all those birthday celebration cakes she baked for all our new members 2 Sundays ago, especially that lemon cake. Did anybody have that lemon cake? I love chocolate. She had a chocolate cake. She had a vanilla cake. And I did taste a corner of the chocolate vanilla cake. Okay, I won't tell you how big of a piece of that lemon cake I got. Oh, my goodness. That was to die for. And Sandra made that cake and all those other cakes. And Sandra was one of those 39 new members we were celebrating and asked them to come so that we could serve them cake. And I said, oh, by the way, Sandra, I want you to bake the cakes. And she was happy to do so. She baked all the cakes for all our new members, and she was one of them. That's amazing. I personally need to thank those kind of people. And I need to thank the Lord for calling those kind of people to be members of our church. That's a preacher's dream come true. You know, I've visited some guys, and they're honest and upfront with me, and they'll say, you know, preacher, you really don't want me for a member of your church. And sometimes I say all that, no, we want you come. And a year later, I think, no, I really didn't want them for a member of our church. Okay, but we've got other people for which we need to really, really thank the Lord for, that he's called those kind of people to membership in this church. We're very thankful that they're here. Sandra's husband, John, has followed suit, and he's manning our welcome desk I saw this morning. He's one of the first impression team members, and he's doing a great job. I'm very thankful for people that, yeah, they believe the Lord has has made them members of this church, incorporated them within the body of this church, transplanted them, if you will, to be a biological member of this congregation, and then they roll up their sleeves and start working with us. Man, I need to thank the Lord for adding those kind of people to our congregation. Can we thank the Lord for all the new members the Lord has added to this congregation this year? We need to be more than just thankful. We need to thank somebody. And it's the Lord who adds to his church daily those who are being saved. We need to thank the Lord for them. I need to thank the Lord personally. I need to thank the Lord for Drew and Michael and thank them for all their sermons that they preached, and Randy for all the Sunday school lessons he taught, and Seth and Tom and Mark with him. I need to be thankful to our church staff this year and all the others who filled in during my absence. I need to be thankful to my heart surgeons and Licking Memorial and Riverside Hospitals. I need to be very thankful to these people. I actually shook one of my cardiologist's hands this week that I went back to, and he kind of was hesitant to reach out and shake my hand because he knew there was a time I wasn't ready to shake his hand. But I said, "Now, Dr. Rajub, I need to thank you. I didn't have any symptoms. I didn't believe you I had any trouble. I'm not real sure I still did, but I'm told now that I probably averted the big one, you know, and it's probably because you were persistent over 5 years to see me through, and you could have given up on me and my stubbornness anywhere along the way, and I need to thank you." He shook my hand and shook his head and walked out of the room. I don't know what he thought. But we need to keep short accounts when it comes to being thankful. How many believe that? We need to keep short accounts when it comes to being thankful. And we need to keep the shortest account of all when it comes to being thankful to God. We shouldn't let the day go by without thanking. It's not just enough to be thankful. For all we know, all 10 lepers that Jesus cleansed were thankful. There's nothing in this scripture that says they weren't thankful. But only one of them stopped and turned and returned to praise God with a loud voice, falling on his knees and giving thanks to the Lord. We've got another person here this morning that would like to give you thanks and thanks to the Lord this morning. I'm going to ask Dan to come at this time.
Scripture I've grown to come to appreciate more and more is a scripture found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul writes this: "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." This has been a difficult year in Belize for me physically. I've been in the hospital 4 times. I've gone to the emergency room 4 other times. I am thankful, first of all, that God has given me the strength in all of that I was never out of the pulpit even one Sunday.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the Lord that through all of this, 3 more people have come to faith in Jesus Christ and have been baptized. And part of that, they said they saw a godly example. Part of that being renewed on the inner man is the encouragement that I have received from a variety of people. I need to come here and say thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Being in the hospital multiple times, I accrued a medical bill that I could not possibly pay. And you paid that for me.
Amen. Amen.
And I am grateful for the partnership that we have. I'm in Belize, but your congregation is in Belize as well. And together, God, through us, is doing wonderful things. And I thank you that you have alleviated a tremendous burden and allowed the good news to continue to be shared. People respond to that, and salvation is part of the story. It is part of your story, not just here, but around the world. And so I say thank you. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your encouragement, for your love, and for your support. Thank you.
Dan Underwood, give him a hand. Dan, we're very thankful for you and what the Lord has done to bring you back to a semblance of health and continued ministry there in Belize. Look forward to hearing more of the good work there. Who do you need to be thankful for? And are you thanking them? It's a sobering thought, but one day they won't be around to thank anymore. And one day you won't be around to thank anymore either. Who do you need to give thanks to this Thanksgiving? Don't just settle for being a thankful person when you can actually give thanks to a truly deserving person. Amen? Give thanks to someone. That's what the tenth leper did, and he was a Samaritan. That's a big emphasis of Luke's story that he's telling us this morning. These 10 men really were cleansed from their leprosy, and only one of them really did stop and turn and return and thank Jesus. But the emphasis of the story is, and that 10th man was a Samaritan. He was an outsider to the faith of Israel. But that didn't stop him from being thankful. That didn't stop him from turning and returning and falling on his face and thanking Jesus for this miracle. And it didn't stop Jesus from pronouncing him, the Samaritan, the most commendable of all the 10 when it came to expressing thanks. In fact, what Jesus said would have sounded quite convicting to the religious insiders who should have known better, the 9 Israelites who were cleansed who didn't return. Had they only been there to hear it, it would have been a piercing in their heart. Jesus, looking over the horizon, said, "We're not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Stab in the heart. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? I picture Jesus scanning the horizon, looking one last time for at least one grateful Israelite that would return and give thanks to God. But no, another gospel writer says, Jesus came into his own, and his own what? Received him not. Oh, that's like a nail in the heart this morning. But I'll tell you who it's good news for. If you're here this morning and you're uncertain about this Jesus thing, you're kind of uncommitted toward his church. You don't know whether you want to drink this Kool-Aid or not. You're not sure about religion. You're feeling a little outside the Christian faith. Maybe you gave it a shot when you were young, and now that you've grown older, for whatever reason, you've walked away from it as an adult. The good news is you can still thank God. You can still thank God. And God may find your thanks the most commendable thanksgiving given of all this year, more than any of the insiders. He did the Samaritan, the outsider, who wasn't just thankful, but he actually stopped and he turned and he returned to say, thank you. That's what we need to do too. Amen. Inside or outside, I pray you give thanks too. Now, we meet each Sunday to do that right here at Licking Valley Church. And you're welcome to begin meeting with us too, and meeting with us around the Lord's table, where together we remember that for which we're most thankful. Not how Jesus cleansed us from an incurable disease, but how Jesus cleansed us from our sin and how much it cost him for our cleansing. We eat a little piece of bread, and we drink a little cup of juice to remind us how Jesus sacrificed his own body on the cross for our sin. He took upon himself what we deserved so that we could all be forgiven. And I kid you not, it was at this very moment when I was writing this sermon that the kitchen phone rang, and I was at the kitchen table, and Lynn asked if I could get it, and it's pretty hard for me to say no because I'm sitting right at the kitchen table. So I answered the phone, even though I was closing up the sermon, and it was a recorded message from Vanessa. Anybody else getting a recorded message from Vanessa? I don't know any Vanessa, but I get these recorded messages, I kid you not, I was listening to her. She said, "Hi, this is Vanessa, and our records show that you or one of your loved ones may be suffering from an incurable disease." Exactly what she said. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. But that's as far as I heard. I didn't stay on the line any longer. But I hung up the phone, and I thanked the Lord for Vanessa's reminder, because we all are suffering from an incurable disease. Amen? It's not leprosy. What is it? Sin. We were all suffering from an incurable disease. And that's why Jesus took our disease upon Him, because He knew we couldn't bear this. Now, if that's something you'd like to know more about, you can meet with Jeff or one of the elders back at the beginning point table in the back of the room after the service is over. But if you've already come to believe in the Lord's death on the cross for your sin, then you're welcome to join us in offering our thanksgiving together. Not just being thankful, but actually sitting down, stopping, thinking, and thanking Him. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your Son Jesus, our Savior, who was willing to take upon Himself our sins and die in our place, so that we could have the assurance that our punishment is paid in full and we are now forgiven and we have a home waiting on us in heaven. And until then, we have a church upon the earth to which You could add us, and we could become thankful members with one another, where we meet not just with thankful hearts, but we actually stop and we turn and we return Sunday after Sunday to give You thanks. Accept our thanks this morning for Your Son, Jesus, our Savior. It's in Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen.